Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show for Thursday, the 19th of April on News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Look for us on Facebook and Twitter, our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and at stevejonesshow.com. If you miss any of our live shows, we have 3 months of 3 months of shows archived on the podcast page. Speaking of the podcast, available on demand, and when you subscribe after each live show on WKOK, we drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet, so you get instant access anytime you want to hear it. So subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast today on either Google Play, Apple Podcast app, or iTunes. And our email is stevejones@wkok.com if you want to drop us a line anytime. You can do that. All right, so we are now less than 48 hours away from the 2018 Penn State Blue-White game, 3 o'clock kick Saturday at Beaver Stadium. With Steve, Jack Hamm, and Derek Williams, you'll be able to hear it live on Eagle 107, also streaming at eagle107.com, and on our WKOK app Saturday at 3. You can just tap the Eagle 107 button for Steve, Jack, and Derek as spring football wraps up. We'll be talking Penn State football next half hour, 3:35, with Bob Flounders, the great writer for Harrisburg Patriot and PennLive.com. We're also scheduled to have next hour at 4:06 from your NIT champions, Penn State head men's basketball coach Patrick Chambers. And back to more Penn State football tonight, by the way. There will be a special edition of the Penn State Coaches Show with head coach James Franklin. You'll be able to hear that tonight. First half of it on 1070 AM. The whole show on WKOK.com tonight at 1070 AM at 6:30. We'll go to Philly for Phillies and Pirates as they crank up a four-game set. So Phillies will be on 1070 AM at 6:30. If you want to hear the entire Coaches Show with James Franklin, you can go to our stream at WKOK.com. So you got Phillies, Pirates tonight. You've got the 76ers and the Heat tonight from Miami. That tip is at 7. That series is tied one game each. No Joel Embiid tonight. There are a couple of getaway games in baseball this afternoon. Cubs leading St. Louis 6-1. They're heading to the third. And Detroit is blasting Baltimore 12-4 in the top half of the sixth. Also tonight, you've got the NFL schedule going to be released at 8 p.m. Eastern. The Vikings and Eagles reportedly are going to open up the season in a rematch of last January's NFC Championship game. We do know for sure that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Rams, they will meet in Mexico City in November for an ESPN Monday Night Football game. The Pittsburgh Steelers have 2018 rematches against both AFC Championship teams, Jacksonville and New England, both of whom beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. The Jags did it twice last season. The Raiders will be facing the 49ers in San Francisco. That'll be John Gruden's return to the Bay Area. And the Eagles are going to go back to L.A. to face the Rams. That's where Carson Wentz tore his ACL during Week 14 of last season. That could be a huge matchup of the NFC's two best teams next year. But we will find out exactly when those games will be played, as the 2018 NFL schedule will be released tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich will not coach tonight's game against the Golden State Warriors. He's mourning the death of his wife, Erin. Spurs assistant coach Ettore Messina will fill in for San Antonio in what will be undoubtedly an emotional Game 3 while the team tries to climb out of a 2-0 hole against Golden State. Erin, who was married to Popovich over 40 years, passed away after a long battle with illness at the age of 67. The team made the official announcement on Wednesday. And we've got our first Major League Baseball managerial firing. Reds saying see ya to Brian Price. Reds off to a 3-15 start. Reds released a statement earlier today that pitching coach Mack Jenkins has also been fired. Bench coach Jim Riggleman named Cincinnati's interim manager. According to general manager Dick Williams, at this time we felt a change needed to happen in order to begin the process of getting this team back on the right track. We realize it's early in the season, but feel it's important to be proactive. The move came during an off day in St. Louis. The Reds are going to start a 3-game series with the Cardinals on Friday. Reds coming off back-to-back shutout losses in Milwaukee. First time they were blanked in consecutive games since 2015. Cincinnati's currently 9 games behind the Pirates in the National League Central. Overall, Price's record with the Reds, 279-387. Since becoming the Reds manager in 2014, he never had a winning record. The Reds have lost at least 94 games and finished last in the NL Central in each of the past 3 seasons. That's some of the headlines currently for the afternoon as we get closer to what hopefully is going to be a warm, dry weekend across the valley. Still can't shake this cold and wind, but hopefully we'll start to see a turn tomorrow with our AccuWeather, which, of course, you can always find at WKOK.com. Customized for here or wherever you're going, specifically maybe Beaver Stadium for Saturday. Speaking of spring football, Bucknell will have their spring game on Sunday, and that'll be a 1 p.m. start at Christie. We will have Bucknell head football coach Joe Susan on the show Monday at 3:35 here on WKOK, and we'll have more NFL draft conversation as well. Scheduled to join us tomorrow from FanRag Sports draft analyst Joe Marino. We had a chance to talk to Joe back in January, right around the Senior Bowl, so looking forward to having Joe making a return visit to the show tomorrow. And of course, we never begin the weekend without Steve's brother Kevin Jones. He'll be with us to wrap up the week tomorrow at 4:35. So Bob Flounders, Patrick Chambers scheduled to join us next hour, and then of course tonight on 1070 AM for a half an hour, WKOK.com for the full hour, the Penn State Coaches Show, special blue-white edition with Steve and head coach James Franklin as we get closer to the blue-white game, which will be 3 o'clock on Saturday, live coverage on Eagle 107. So we'll take a quick break. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Cannot do this show without the great folks at Sunbury Motors. By the way, a quick reminder, we're now less than 2 weeks away from the annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. And if you haven't locked in your foursome yet, please do. You can call the Sunbury Y at 570-286-5636. It's Wednesday, May 2nd, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, all to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And, of course, we will continue our tradition of our live broadcast from the Purdy Tournament. We look forward to being there, and hopefully you'll be there with us as well on Wednesday, May the 2nd. Back with more in a moment. Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai asks, what import brand is the must-have vehicle in the Susquehanna Valley?
Toyota?
April Fools!
Honda?
April Fools!
Subaru?
April Fools!
It's Hyundai! That's no April Fools! If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai! Stop in Sunbury Motors Hyundai and see why Hyundai offers more features, more selection, and more choices than any other import brand. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is taking up to $5,050 off 2018 Hyundai Santa Fes, and they start at $25,560. Start your spring off right with a brand new Hyundai Veloster. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has seven in stock, starting at $17,495. Or a 2018 Hyundai Elantra, starting at $15,730, with 13 in stock. And they all have America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Don't fall for April Fool's jokes. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Okay. Well, I was speaking to a group today about the Coaches versus Cancer golf tournament here, which will be June 1st. The reception is going to take place on May 31st. And so, guess what made the cut?
The chutter.
No.
Okay.
I can't bring myself to talk about illegal clubs.
Anything is possible. That, anything is possible in this day and age. So I was just kind of.
Yeah. I brought up. We were talking about contests that happened during the course of the tournament, and we're talking about straightest drive. So I had to tell a suit story. And I know they flipped the holes, right? You know, it used to be the front nine, now it's the back nine. So I want to say it would be six, the old number six, goes across the driveway. They made that straightest drive. So I explained how the suit took it over the Dunkin' Donuts and brought it back. And somebody said, "Did he do it intentionally?" I said, "Well, he definitely hit it that direction." I said,
if you put "bring back" and Dunkin' Donuts in the same sentence, coffee better be included.
Wow. I said, "It was the most remarkable shot I've ever seen." I said, "It went out two fairways, came back over some trees, and landed 6 inches from the string." I said, "It was almost criminal to call it straightest." And you know what really bothers me about that? It bothers him more. He didn't win.
No.
How could he not have won? I guess somebody said they were 4 inches off the string or something like that. Yeah, come on. Really? He didn't win. He should have. And then I had to tell him about the back-to-back bridge debacles. I said, this is the importance of having four players in your group. You can waste one shot.
Did anyone stand in the room and said, "What this happened to the same guy?"
I did. Somebody did ask. The same guy did this? I said, "Yeah, the same guy did this." I said, "Now, I also pointed out," I said, "that there are holes where he played really well, and you know," I said, "and I fouled up." I said, "But I said, yes, this is the same person." My goodness, we've got 13 days to go before we get to that. 13 days. Boy, that's great, isn't it? And it's going to get so much nicer.
Finally.
I think today's the last lousy day we're having, weather-wise. Well, tomorrow maybe I'd be, You know what?
Well, hopefully tomorrow's going to be the start of at least a four-day stretch of nice, dry weather that we deserve. So that's what we're hoping. Get some above average temperatures for a change. Way overdue.
Look, right now I'm begging for average. I mean, it's just been... you know what's interesting? It's going to be really beautiful here this weekend. This is a gigantic recruiting weekend. Football's got a lot of recruits coming in. Basketball's got a couple of critical guys coming in. Wow. And the weather, it looks like it's going to cooperate. The weather looks like it's going to cooperate. So that's really, really good. But I mean, I'm driving here today. It's snowing. Like, oh, for goodness sakes. Oh, I guess they announced the blue-white game rosters. Okay. One thing about the blue-white game is that that you have a lot of walk-ons that get their opportunity to finally get out there and play. You cannot win today unless you have great walk-ons in the program. Because whether they end up being a Brandon Smith that works their way into the lineup and is critical to your on-the-field winning on Saturday, or they happen to be critical that they're good enough to give your teams a look Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're critical. You have to have that. I don't think the Big Ten's made the announcement. Everyone knows the NFL's making its announcement tonight on the schedule. For some odd reason, I already know 38% of the Steelers' schedule. They're playing Cincinnati twice, Baltimore twice, and Cleveland twice. And that's 6 out of 16. So, yeah, that's a 2-hour special tonight. 2-hour special.
Steelers will also be playing Jacksonville again and New England again.
Right.
So now you know a little more.
It's a first place schedule.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which means they have to play. Who won the West? Kansas City?
I think Kansas City played in a wild card game.
Well, it's with Denver, San Diego. It's Denver, the Chargers, Kansas City, Raiders. Had to be Kansas City won the division.
Okay.
They may have played the wild card game, but they may have played as a divisional champion, right? Well, they have to play them, too. Steelers won the division. Now, the question is, which division do the Steelers get matched up with? I mean, this is where you find out what division do you get. So, I mean, we have already nailed down, what, 9 of the 16 games? Now, which AFC division are you playing this year, and which NFC division are you playing this year? Okay? That really is what the whole mystery is about. Now, the Big Ten is releasing today who you're playing this year. Now, this is different than the NFL. Yeah, okay, we're talking about, we know they're playing 20 games against these 13 teams. But what you don't know going in is who are your home and aways and what are your one plays. I mean, Pat and I went over earlier today. I can't get into it. I'm kind of in that spot where where he can tell me, look, all right, let's be straight here. Do I know much more than I ever say? But that's part of the job. I haven't had this job for 36 going on my 37 seasons and football going on my 27th season. If I go on the shows every day and go, hey, guess what I know? Man, you should see this trick play they ran. It was great. But I've got an idea of what they're going to do with the schedule. I like what they're going to do with the schedule. And keep in mind, I think Pat told me they're down to 2 or 3 more games of schedule, and that's it. Because I already know where the tournament is. And there's a couple of others he's got in there, too, that's going to work.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Anytime I get a chance to talk to Bob Flounders, I always find it to be a great time. Bob, welcome. Great to have you back.
Steve, it's good to hear from you. It's been a little while. It's good to hear your voice. It's exciting that spring's wrapping up here, and I think there's some interesting young players, hopefully, that'll be healthy and on display in the blue-white game at Beaver Stadium on Saturday.
So how do you approach this? Do you approach it individually? Do you look at groups? How, you know, obviously each one's going to be a little bit different, but how do you approach this one, for example, as a writer going in with some thoughts?
Yeah, so obviously it's not even really a true scrimmage, and obviously the guys that Penn State know, the coaching staff know, are not only going to be good players but key players. They're if they play at all, it's just a token appearance. But I do think you don't get a lot of chances to see certain players. I think it's exciting when Penn State has six January enrollees that are eligible to play, and not only that, it's probably James Franklin's best class. Some of them have a chance to play maybe right away. I think it's a little bit different this year in the blue-white in that respect, because you're seeing really, you know, four and five-star guys, and then you throw in the fact that they redshirted some very good players, coming out of the 2017 class. I think this is a little bit more of an interesting game, and I think the fans kind of feel the same way. I know that the hay is in the barn as far as the work that they've accomplished, and I know that the coaching staff really knows kind of where some of these players are at. But me personally, I think there's a couple of real intriguing guys on offense this year, and I think obviously with a Penn State defense that's replacing eight starters, there are a couple of guys away from the ball that I'll be watching, because I think they need them to play well.
Did you see Micah Parsons play in high school, and if so, what did you think?
Honestly, I don't think I saw him, but our high school staff has been around a long time, and I know that three or four guys have seen him and have seen him for extended periods, and he does things, quite frankly, that not a lot of players in the Harrisburg area have done the last 15 years. And more so than that, the stories you hear along the camp trail, where he would show up in camps against very good players, and his skill set, whether it would be as a pass rusher, I saw him last year, Steve. I saw him two winters ago in a camp, I think it was an Under Armour camp in Florida, just going, a couple of days before Penn State played in the Rose Bowl against USC. I was down in Orlando, and he was invited down there, and, LeVar was down there, LeVar Arrington, Deion Sanders was down there coaching him up. And he has rare movement skills, for a person that large. He's probably a player that could play four or five positions on either side of the ball and play them very well. And so the long answer to your question is I haven't seen him play, but I've seen him work out, and I trust the people who tell me that this is not a player that comes around very often, especially the fact that Penn State was able to keep him home, I think, very significant.
You mentioned there are a couple of players on offense that you're going to take a good long look at. Who would that be and why?
Yeah, so I know that it doesn't sound particularly sexy, but I want to see Sean Clifford kind of just throw the ball, move around. I know that James is serious when he says it's very important that they have a guy at the number three quarterback position that they could trust to run the offense if they need to. And it makes sense when you look at the pounding that Trace McSorley takes during the course of a game You know, he's literally a play away from getting hurt. And the same goes for Tommy. If they're going to use him in different roles, he's going to absorb some hits. I think this really frees them up, if they feel good about Sean, to kind of use Tommy any way they want to use him, in maybe non-quarterback roles. I think it's really important to see what he looks like. And then two other players to me that I'll be watching, KJ Hamler, kind of working in receiver. I just want to see him kind of, you know, move, get open, and run after the catch. I want to see him. And then, you know, Michael Mennett is a player that a couple of years ago, as a big athlete, as an offensive defensive lineman, was talked about almost as the way that we're talking about Micah now. He was viewed as a player that could have went anywhere in the country. And the expectation, fair or not, was that it wouldn't take him long to get established at a major college. Now, I know things have worked against him in terms of he's been injured and he's battled some of those problems, and it slowed his development, but he's still only just beginning his third year. And, you know, he certainly looks the part, and he is legit, I think, to be one of Penn State's best five offensive linemen. He can play guard. He can play a little bit of center. And it's nice to see Penn State, Steve, have a problem like the one that they have, where they have probably five, six, seven guys they really like on the offensive line, and they can't play them all. I just remember, you know, in James' first spring, and really his first season, things were so dire on the offensive line that they converted a couple of defensive linemen, Brian Gaia and Derek Dowry, to play, and they were really kind of counting on them. And they kind of had to play Andrew Nelson, I believe, as a redshirt freshman, probably a little bit sooner than they wanted to. But that's not where Penn State's at anymore. James said it kind of early in spring. He feels they've progressed to the point, because of recruiting and development, that their second-team guys can play in a game against a quality team. And Penn State, he feels like they can win on offense with those guys.
Defensively, Jack made this statement. Jack Ham made a statement during a game early last year that defensively, if you come to Penn State, expect to play. And when you look at the secondary and you look at the defensive front, so we'll take the linebackers out of it for the moment.
Yeah.
You have guys that have played a lot of football. Is this what you're seeing now from the winning programs that stay in the mix in that top 10 every year, that in terms of reloading, because they have the ability to play a lot of people?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing happening is you're talking about a program that has a coaching staff, especially on the defensive side, that can develop players quickly. I've always been impressed, especially on the defensive side, with the assistant's ability and James' ability to see a player in one position that might make a better impact at another, or maybe in a part-time role. The defensive linemen are not only talented, and it's not only a deep group, but you're talking about, save for a couple of guys, a couple of big guys at tackle, you're talking about some athletes who can play different spots, whether it's Kevin Givens, who I think could just be a tremendous player for Penn State this year, whether it's him, you know, playing defensive end in a pinch and playing it well, or playing the three technique, or filling in on the nose, whether it's Buchholz, who slimmed down, you know, playing very well as a two-way end outside or kicking inside in a pinch. You know, and I think a guy like Yetur Gross-Matos, who's just really a baby, who knows how big he'll be by the time he's done at Penn State. He could probably play inside and outside as well. They're just deep, and they're athletic enough where they can move them around. And I think it's also starting to show up in the secondary, where they have some athletes that could do a lot of things. Nick Scott obviously has been very, very good in winter and spring. Garrett Taylor, who's being looked at safety, can play corner or safety. You know, you have Lamont Wade, who can play some corner, especially some slot corner, now in the safety rotation, which only kind of probably strengthens Penn State's nickel package because of what he could do and his flexibility. You have John Reed coming back, who, you know, before he got hurt, might have been Penn State's best cover corner. Who really knew that Amani Arawarie, a long corner, was going to have the year that he had last year? He's back. And from what I'm hearing behind the scenes, I think they're thrilled with what they have in Tariq Castro Fields, who's now in his second year. I think he's a guy that could be one of the best corners to play at Penn State in a long time as he continues to develop. But they're recruiting well, and so when you recruit well, you're getting a better athlete, a competitive athlete, who isn't going to shy away from the spotlight, and you can trust him in big situations once you kind of figure out what he can do and what he can't do. And then the staff, I think, has just done a very good job developmental-wise, getting guys ready to play, getting them prepared, and training them to play multiple positions. It's really, you know, that defense last year, with the exception of two games against some really good teams on the road, that was a fast defense that took over games, for stretches. I think about what they were able to do at Northwestern. I think about what they were able to do early in the Fiesta Bowl, what they were able to do for four quarters against Michigan. I never really felt like Pittsburgh offensively was able to do very much during those 60 minutes. They gained some yards, but they couldn't really do much in the red zone. This is a defense that's really caught up in many ways to the offense that was so powerful in 2016 and 2017. And when you throw in what, you know, their specialist Blaine Gillikin can do, it's really a team that James has built that can play complementary football and really kind of just really take the wind out of some good teams, I think, on their schedules, because there's really no weak links anymore.
You were talking about athleticism, know-how, and, you know, we talked about the corner position. You know, what does it mean to what Brent Pry can do that you not only have guys like that you just described in Tariq Castro Fields and Amani Oruwariye, but you also have two guys at that spot in those two guys that are long. They're not small corners. They're 6'1" corners. I mean, and what kind of difference does that length mean in today's game?
I think it's huge. I think you just look at what Penn State is recruiting for the receiver position. You look at Chris Godwin. You look at Saeed Blacknall. They had a big receiver or a bigger receiver in the slot in Deshaun Hamilton. They're bringing in Justin Shorter, who's set to arrive in August, who might be the most heralded recruit at the receiver position they've had, I don't know, in maybe two decades. Maybe I'm wrong there. But especially in the red zone, when the field shrinks, it's about contested catches. There's so much speed. It's so prevalent that you're just not going to see too many plays where a receiver is going to be 5 yards behind the secondary because the athletes are too good on defense, and they're trying, and you know, in the spread they're trying to throw the ball quick. But the contested catch is really the name of the game, the 50-50 ball, something Allen Robinson did so well in 2012 and 2013, catch it and then run with it. When you have bigger corners, it's tougher, I think, for offenses to kind of run that play and have success with that play, because the receivers on the outside are have morphed into almost, you know, mini tight ends. Juwan Johnson is listed at 230 pounds, and he might be more impressive looking than any of the tight ends that Penn State has. So, yeah, if you don't have long corners on the outside, it's great to have inside corners or slot corners who can really kind of suffocate some guys man-to-man. But if you don't have long corners on the outside against some of these good programs, they're just going to throw fades, and they're going to throw contested balls, and they're going to eat you alive. So I think it's really important that Penn State has finally been able to identify and bring in some really quality corners that are 6 feet, 6'1", maybe even 6'2".
Because if you look to me at the Rose Bowl,
right,
Penn
exactly.
State's corners were actually in great position so many times, and Darnold completed a lot of passes because of the length of Juju Smith-Schuster and Deonte Burnett.
Right, exactly, Steve. And, you know, the corners in that game for Penn State, I mean, Christian Campbell was a long corner, but really, I mean, their starters, Grant Haley and John Reed, they're very good at what they do. They were victims of their lack of size when they were going against guys like Juju Schuster-Smith. I always get him confused with the hyphen. The guy that's with the Steelers that had such a great rookie year. he was a tough matchup. And, you know, when you're 5'11 or 5'10, it's not enough to be in great position. It really isn't, because if you're kind of cover a guy that's 5 inches taller than you, then maybe can jump a little bit higher than you can, and you have a quarterback who can just put the ball right where it needs to be, it's almost not fair.
Bob, it's always a pleasure. It is great to have you on with us, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Okay, take care of yourself, Steve.
All right, Bob Flounders, Patriot News, PennLive.com. All right, we will give you the breakdown for Penn State basketball. Who do they play home and away? And who are the one plays and where are they playing them? We'll tell you about that in a moment as we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Big Ten is changing up this year. They're going to go to a 20-game schedule. Now, theoretically, this should help you in your RPI, which, as you know, I think is a pretty much a worthless stat. I think that the RPI is 20 years past its usefulness. Okay. But if it's going to exist, you got to look at it. Yet when we had Jerry Palm on the show, remember that, Sean, he was not really that enamored with going to 20 games in terms of helping you. That's what, and I could partially see his point, and then the other part, I'm like, no, please. You know, that's nice. To me, it depends on who is in your schedule. All right? You can have a schedule in conference that's not a great schedule. Look at Nebraska. Nebraska did not get a great RPI Big Ten schedule last year. It hurt them. They had, you name it, they played one second division team after another at home this year. So Penn State will have, these are the games that they will play strictly at home without a return. Penn State will play Indiana at home, Iowa at home, and Michigan State at home. They will play on the road for one plays, Williams Arena, Minnesota, Welsh Ryan Arena, Northwestern, and Value City Arena with Ohio State. So that means the home and aways will include Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Nebraska, Purdue, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. So again, the Jordan Center games will be Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State. The away games are Minnesota, Northwestern, and Ohio State.
No home and home for Ohio State. That's interesting.
It's all done on a rotational basis. Sean, years ago, Jim Delaney said to me, this is when they had 11 teams in the Big Ten. He says, Steve, look, just follow the pattern. It'll all even out in the end. It's okay. And then they added Nebraska, which meant, of course, what did they have to do? Change the schedule.
Okay.
And I was told again, in the end, it'll even out. But then they added Maryland and Rutgers, and they changed the schedule again. It's never evened out. Well, now you're starting down this road to 20 with 14 teams. There's going to be a pattern to this, and it'll be interesting to see it. And you can't really derive the pattern until you've had 2 years of it. But the home and aways will be Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Nebraska, Purdue, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. Okay. So that turns out to be a fairly attractive home schedule. The only game that you have there that you'd like to have at home, I don't think the fans care too much of Minnesota's here. I don't think the fans care too much for the most part of Northwestern's here. Ohio State's the only one where Ohio State is the only one that I think the fans would love to see that's not going to be at home. I mean, because they're going to get Michigan State at home. They're going to get Indiana at home. They're going to get Purdue at home, Wisconsin, Maryland, Michigan here. You're going to get all those teams here. All right, Patrick Chambers, we're going to talk coaches versus cancer next half hour with him. And Bob Grove, final half hour on why the Penguins are routing the Flyers.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.